I'm Brian Moline, Illinois Public Media. Welcome to the pilot episode of a new podcast that we're calling, at least for now, Live from Studio F. Over the next 30 minutes or so, you'll hear some great music from the Champaign-Urbana alternative rock band Terra Terra and learn how they go about creating their music. Big thanks to our technical director, Jason Croft, for all of his help in recording and mixing this podcast. Now let's hear from Terra Terra. They're performing this Friday night at Allerton's Red, White, and Blues event starting at 6 p.m. Here's one of the songs you may hear them perform at Allerton. It's one of their newer tracks. Here's Lorelei.
Here
Very nice. That's Lorelei by the band Terra Terra. Let's introduce everybody in the band. We've got Emily Blue on vocals and guitar. Emily, glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Colin Althaus on guitar. And we've got Nick Soria on bass, Joey Butler on drums. Guys, great to have you all here. Emily, I'll start with you. As I understand it, just kind of reading about Terra Terra, it kind of started as almost a solo project for you several years back. How did this evolve over time? How did it go from kind of your group to kind of early a collaborative effort? You can certainly hear how it's evolved over time, but from living it, how did that evolve?
I think the biggest process that we had to embark on was just learning how to collaborate creatively. So it started out with me being the songwriter, and then we just base everything around what I had in mind. And I kind of called the shots, you know, for lack of a better phrase. And then I bought an electric guitar, and Colin taught me the magic of good guitar tone, and we kind of made our parts interact a little bit more cohesively. And so it wasn't just like, here's Emily's song and a bunch of layers. It was like, here's how all the layers are working together to create Terra Terra. So, yeah, it's been an awesome, awesome journey.
Sure. And as I kind of look at, you know, some of the credits on the work you've done, it looks like kind of the four of you have been kind of the core of the group for the last few years. I know you've had some other members as well, but the four of you have been playing together for a while now, right?
Absolutely. We had a lot of fun working with backing singers and violin and a lot of different stuff along the way, but at the end of the day, we kind of just concluded, like, we're the band and let's keep it this way unless we need some more layers or sounds.
Sure. Colin, if I could have you maybe step over to the microphone here. I'm going to let you kind of geek out on us here. Tell me a little bit about your setup here. I'm seeing all these pedals and everything you're doing throughout Lorelei here. Just tell me a little bit about your setup.
Well, I'd say that my setup leads me to think way too much about the technical aspect of guitar and sometimes not enough about actually playing it. but as far as my setup goes, a lot of the pedals that I have, I use to create kind of an atmosphere or an ambience. Not just to create like good rock and roll tones, which I guess is I could separate my pedals into pedals that kind of create the rock tone and pedals that create ambience. And so I guess my philosophy behind my gear is kind of use both of them. So.
Yeah, very good. And just looking at the credits for your album Daughter, I see that you recorded that album.
Yep.
Tell me about your background in recording and how that's evolved over time.
Yeah, so my background in recording started at church when I would record services with the sound guy that was there and try to mix them later. And that kind of evolved into my parents getting me a mixer and some headphones for Christmas. And so there was a time when I was in elementary school, actually, that I was super obsessed with recording music. That kind of stopped around middle school or high school, and then it picked up again kind of as this band started coming together. And so I started doing more engineering. We ended up recording out in Tolono at a studio called Earth Analog that is run by a guy named Matt Talbot, who fronts the band Hum, which is an amazing band. He has just some great gear out there, a really good room. But most of all, I think the best thing about it is that he was so gracious and willing to let me come in and actually do work, even though, you know, I'm just kind of learning everything. And so he taught me a lot just from the experience of doing that. So,
yeah. And how did you meet Emily and kind of get that collaboration started?
It was Emily, Joey and me all grew up in Champaign. And so we knew each other from various bands. Emily was playing completely solo in her high school career. Joey was playing with a couple different bands. I was playing with a couple different bands. I started playing in a band with Joey. And then Emily kind of came around. She knew that I did a little bit of recording stuff, so she asked me to record with her. And then she decided to ditch me to record with someone else. but then she asked me to play guitar on that same recording, which is kind of a really strange shift, and I had to get over the fact that I wasn't actually recording it. but that's kind of how that started, and it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, so. Very nice, very mm-hmm. nice. And Emily, if I could get you back to the mic here, tell me about the song we just heard, Lorelei. Very interesting layers going on. As Colin mentioned, some of the different atmospheric things going on with his guitar. Some really nice build going on there. You know, it starts out very almost kind of a floaty texture, and then it really builds from there. But tell me about Lorelei and how the song developed.
So Lorelei is partly a result of me being a creative writing student at the U of I. So in my classes, I study poetry, and in my classes, I'm encouraged to use a lot of imagery and really kind of build a world in my writing instead of generalizing things. And so my goal with this song was to paint a really vivid picture of a scene where a woman is visiting, or just the speaker is visiting a grave that belongs to Lorelei, and kind of the feelings that surround it, just the thought process throughout. And the song building is totally a result of this band working on it. I brought it to them unfinished, without an ending, basically. And I find that that's a really good way to write with friends. It's like, hey, I have this portion of an idea. Can you help me flesh it out or turn it into something completely different? So the big ending section where the chorus comes back in a different tempo and like all the different kind of feels that we play with were a result of us just practicing it and deciding what we wanted it to sound like. I think that Colin's part helps set the mood for the lyrics. I really think that they kind of sound like the natural world and kind of the mysterious nature of the song. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good. And if you want to hear another performance of Lorelei, I know you guys just had a performance in January up at Audio Tree in Chicago. I know that's one of the songs you did there. Is this going to be part of the new album you're working on as well?
Absolutely. We are working on a new record we plan to record next month. And so that song's going to be on there as well as a bunch of other ones never before heard.
Very good. Very good. Well, I love that song. Let's kind of keep the music going here. I understand we've got another newer one, Pedestal, correct?
Yes, that's also on our Audio Tree session. So, and that's available for download, and you can watch it on YouTube and stuff.
All right. Very good. Pedestal from Terra Terra.
How could I be so selfish with we'll be right back.
upon a pedestal.
Pedestal from Terra Terra. Very nice, guys. Joey, I'll have you step out from behind the kid here and ask you something as well. But while he's coming up to the mic, Emily, tell me a little bit about the name, Terra Terra. How did it come about? Just a very, very interesting name. Got some nice homophones there. That,
thank you.
Different spelling, but sound the same. So how did Terra Terra come about?
So the second Terra, I think, is where it started, and it means land or earth. And we were talking about how we're all in Illinois and we feel landlocked. We're not near the ocean. And so we're just kind of bouncing ideas off each other. And that is a word that we really liked. So then we spelled it differently. But it also happens to be the name of the plantation in Gone with the Wind, which is a coming-of-age story about a young woman. I feel like I've told this a million times. That's why it sounds like a robot is talking. Yeah, actually, Colin, you want to talk a little bit about it? I'm not very good at this question.
Sure.
So another thing is that we decided to change the name around the time that our first album was coming out. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of, well, like me personally, I just started going to college around that time. And so there was a lot of like transition that was happening like for all of us. And so we were kind of talking about like coming of age themes and like how we are growing up in Champaign and now we feel like I don't know, like we're establishing ourselves as being rooted here. And so that's kind of how I tied it in with Gone with the Wind, where there's a character named Scarlett who basically is forced to grow up in her plantation during the Civil War era, and it's where she lived her entire life. And so to us, that's Champaign. So
Champaign is the plantation, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Well, Joey, doing a great job behind the kit here today.
Hey, thank you.
How did you get started playing the drums?
Well, that's a long story. But basically, in middle school, I had a few friends, at that point, since fourth grade, I had been trying to play quite a few different instruments, and they didn't pan out. Violin, it was terrible. Guitar, my hands weren't big enough. It didn't happen. But I made some new friends in seventh grade, and they all played guitar, and one of them played bass, and they were forming a band. And I was like, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. But I don't know how to play an instrument. And they said, no, you could play drums. I was like, what do you mean? No, just hit them. It's fine. So for a while, I was just teaching myself how to play drums, playing along with my favorite records and my dad's favorite records, which got me into some weird territory, like Rush and Yes, which was my first experimentation.
Oh, so really Rush. So, yeah, you had no problem playing along with those.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. they were a lot easier to air drum to. But when I made it to high school, so I had spent about 2 years just, taking some lessons but banging along to records. And then those same friends said, let's join the marching band. And I told them, well, I don't know how to read music. And they said, well, that's okay. You can just be in the front ensemble and play Shaker, and then you don't have to march. And I thought, that's sweet. I can just be in the shade all day. So there in that first year, I learned how to read music, started taking lessons seriously to make it onto the drum line. I was playing tenor drums there, so a lot of my rudimentary and more technical, skills, prowess, come from marching band. I wanted to join the jazz band as well because all my friends were doing that. And took lessons to establish that. So it's been trying to keep up with all the amazing musicians around me has been how I learned to play the drums, which is what I'm doing now in this band, because I feel like everyone here is very talented and very rock solid, and also very experienced in playing shows. So it's a lot of fun to try to keep up with them.
Yeah, definitely. And just hearing your playing here, very musical. A lot of times, I mean, you're a drummer, of course. You like to hit things,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it looks like you've managed to find a way just to integrate what you're doing into the sound of the band. How do you try and come up with your parts for each song that you guys work on?
That one's hard. I think really what we have to do is just play it until inspiration hits. So part of that is trying to push myself out of my comfort zone to play things that I don't normally do, trying to get out of like the pop or rock song structure, and as far as drums go, different voicings, and just listening to different records to get new ideas. Emily and I will talk a lot about the drum sounds that we like. Emily has now started playing drums, and her approach to drumming is very different than mine, so it's almost like we're trading notes. So I get input from everybody, but at the end of the day, I think we just try a bunch of things and see what sticks.
Yeah, very good. Joey Butler on the drums. Nick, I'm going to have you step up here as well.
Oh, gosh.
So you're the one member of this band, not from Champaign-Urbana. How'd you get hooked up with these townies?
That's a very good question. So before, like a year before the band even started as the four-piece as it exists now, is I played in one of the jazz ensembles here at the U of I with Joey. It was jazz saxophone ensemble. I also play with them with a community jazz band over at Parkland. So me and Joey had been playing together for several months before this band started. So I kind of knew him, and we were like, you know, kind of buds, like, okay, more so acquaintances than friends. And then about a year later in October, I was playing a show with another band who's somewhat based in the area called the Phantom Broadcast. And Emily Otness in the Weekdays, which was the first incarnation of the band, was also playing. So I stuck around for their set, and I was just, like, blown away. And I knew that they were looking for a bass player because Emily specifically said so over the mic. So the way I remember it was that it was kind of a mutual me asking, hey, can I play with you? And also them being like, hey, can you play with us? And just kind of took it from there. And I met up with Emily several times after that and, like, learned her music. And then several weeks later, I played my first show with these guys, and the rest is history.
Yeah, very good. So how did you get started playing the bass?
So I grew up in a somewhat musical family. Like, music was a big part of my parents' life, and I had two older brothers who were in bands in high school and such. And as a little kid, I was never interested in music. I used to say that tell people I hated music, which is the weirdest thing ever. But around middle school, I went to my first concert and finally started listening to a bunch of stuff. And I remember I was 12 at the time. I was at a sleepover at a friend's house with two other guys, one of whom had been playing drums for several years. And I don't really know what started it, but we were just kind of like, hey, what if we started a band? I was just like, oh, my God, my brother could teach me bass, and your brother could teach you guitar. So my brother basically taught me the basics, and we started the band, and I kind of took it from there. I'm mostly self-taught, but I have received some professional instruction just from doing like summer camps and things like that. But yeah, that's pretty much how I got started on bass. And I think even before that, maybe just from watching my brother play and just from some of the music I was listening to, that like if I played an instrument, I would think I would be a bass player, because I don't want to be another guitar player like everybody else. Sorry, Colin and Emily. Yeah, but bass has been the perfect fit for me.
Yeah. So how do you try and build your bass parts with what the band's doing?
With this band, it's an interesting and but fun challenge of trying to find the balance between writing something super simple and just the bare bones, like chords, and also something interesting and fun, because I listen to a lot of really complex fusion players like Victor Wooten or Marcus Miller. So I try to find what's playing what's necessary, but also doing what's also fun and interesting. I have a hard time explaining it sometimes, but it's finding that middle ground of all that's needed and nothing more, but also good, you know?
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Nick Soria on the bass. And we got one more song here from Terra Terra. It's the title track from their 2014 album, Daughter. So we'll give them a chance to get everything queued up for that. Here's Daughter from Terra Terra.
The sun is set across the water, sinking in the ground to its hiding place. Do you forget you have a daughter? The more the seasons pass, the more time escapes. Shed my skin, shed my bones, but you won't. sit across the water, red like a war, the no side won. And you can't explain the fight and why the fire was ignited, 'cause it's gone and it's over. Oh, I would knock at your door, but you won't let me. I don't knock anymore. Oh, my hands are heavy. First you say there's no way, the more you stall, the more I say I don't need you anyway. 'Cause I don't know why the feeling's hard. I don't know why I can't seem to hold your head. I don't know when you got so.
Daughter from Terra Terra. Emily, I've asked everyone else kind of their backstory, so to speak, how they got started in music. How about you? How did it all get started for you?
Oh, man. Well, I've always gravitated toward music just as a hobby and a passion of mine. So I took piano when I was very, very young, like 5 and up till maybe 9, 10, 11. I really don't remember, because at a certain point in my lessons, I would stop reading the music and just start hearing my mom play it and then play it back, because I work more in a teach-yourself, use-your-ear kind of way than a technical sense, at least fundamentally. So structured musical education is a little difficult for me. But despite that, I ended up going to U of I for flute performance, and then quickly deciding, that worked out great, Colin said. like what I said, that it's just not the right environment for me, and I work better with something that's more, that I have more charge, that I'm more in charge of. Yeah, so that. And I also learned guitar when I was, like, 15. But, yeah, the first song I ever wrote was when I was 3, and it was a lullaby that I wrote for myself to put myself to sleep, because I'm an only child and sometimes things get lonely. You know what I mean?
Sure. So, and Joey said you're learning to play the drums. I know you play guitar, keyboard, flute, of course. Any instruments you're not playing at this point?
Yeah, I don't play tuba yet. It seems like the most important instrument for this band, though. So I feel like I should start picking it up.
And Nick says so far no bass.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've tried to play bass, and I realized that you actually have to know what the notes are to play bass. So, people will be like, A minor, and I'll be like, hold on a second. just kidding. I have a little more knowledge, like, technically of guitar than I'm giving myself credit for. But I actually just recorded drums for myself on a solo record I'm working on, which is kind of an experiment for me at this point in time, especially the drumming part. So we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's that coming along?
I think well. I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Very good. And as far as your vocals, You know, it is, as you mentioned, kind of the band working together to create a sound. Certainly, your voice is a huge part of that. How have you developed your vocal style? You know, since you really started performing.
That's a great question. I listen to all sorts of music, and so I kind of just internalize what I like and then imitate it all at once. I really like singer-songwriters like Alison Krauss, Gillian Welch. She's got a really dark, kind of scratchy tone to her voice. And then I really like the band Lucius. Their vocal blend is insane. So, yeah, I just listen to really great female vocalists and try to imitate them, as well as taking lessons from Janet Robb, who's a fantastic teacher. And she kind of teaches me how to use my body in a healthy way for, you know, like when we're on tour, we play a show every night. And that's very, very tiring on the voice. So yeah. I got to find a way to save the instrument a little bit.
Yeah, sure. You guys are performing at Allerton on Friday, July 1st. It should be a lot of fun to play out there. What can folks expect if they come out and see you on for that set at Allerton?
They can hopefully expect a beautiful day. I'm crossing my fingers. And also they can expect to hear a lot of songs from our first record, Daughter, and a lot of new stuff, which we're sort of still workshopping, and it's still in the motion towards recording. So it's kind of exciting to see the development. So we play a lot of new songs at our shows, too.
Sure. So, yeah, tell me kind of what you have coming up. You mentioned recording the new album here in the month of July. Then it sounds like a little bit of a tour coming up in August as well.
Yes. So currently we're actually demoing all our songs in my attic at my house, and Colin is engineering. And then in preparation for going to the Audio Tree Studio with Rick Fritz, recording that. And then our tours in August will be going along the East Coast like we did last year.
Very good. Very
tour
good.
Number two. Will be
now,
fun.
Now for you guys, how many of you guys are still students here at U of I?
Two.
So two of you are, and two of you are alums. Is that right? So how are you trying to kind of find that mix? Obviously, you still want to work on your studies, get your degrees, but you've got a great thing going here with the band as well. How do you find that balance?
Well, since what I'm studying is really related to my work in the band, I think that I find a way for them to work together. Same with Colin, since he's in electrical engineering and he makes a lot of pedals and works with things that are really technical like that. So I think we sort of find ways to incorporate them into our passions, whatever we're doing. And time management, like if you listen to some of our other interviews, we talk about how we use Google Calendar a lot for everything. Trying to relax a little bit, you know, kicking back. We'll take days off on tour and like de-stress, and the same during school. Like we'll be like, no practice tonight, guys, mental health day.
Very nice. Terra, they are Emily Blue on vocals and guitar, Colin Outhouse on guitar, Nick Soria on bass, and Joey Butler on drums. You can hear them at Allerton on Friday, July 1st. This is the first in what we hope is a series of just fun performances and interviews here in at our WILO studios. Working title is Live from Studio F, but who knows? By the time this goes online, that may have changed. But Terra, thank you so much, guys, for coming out and sharing your talents with us today.
Thank you.
Live from Studio F is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Moline, host and producer. Jason Croft is our technical director. And a huge thank you to Terra for being our first guests for this podcast. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can send an email to bmoline@illinois.edu or find me on Twitter at @bmolinewill. Thanks for listening, and here's a bit more of Daughter to take us out.
I don't know when you got